This movie starts off with a bang.
Wow. So let's just get right into this.
The music really enhances this film.
Oh, yeah. And we really didn't know how this scene was going to play itself out, if it was going to be raunchy or not. We had no idea.
Absolutely not, because this was the second time we shot this scene.
Yeah.
Usually, like, girls are a little inhibited. After you do a scene, it's like you're never going to get anything anywhere as hot as that again.
Yeah.
And this was actually better than the first time we shot it. Because the worry was, the first time we shot it, the footage didn't come out right. I think it was something with the recording or the video cards.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
We were kind of like going into like the new high def camera. And there was like this apparatus that was supposed to record, but you really couldn't tell if it was recording or not.
Yeah. And it only recorded for short periods of time.
Yeah. It was really a pain in the ass. It was like you could get the cheaper version that you had no idea if it was recording, and you could get the far more expensive version that you probably could tell it was recording. We went with the cheaper version because it had way more memory, but we had a lot of issues with that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that after that, we started bringing.
Way to bury the lead. I don't think we talked about that sex scene at all. It's already over.
But no, we would bring the computer to the set. We'd have to test it out to see if there was footage there. So yeah, this was the second time around on that scene.
Yeah, and usually that's a death knell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you'll never get anything close to the original, and this was like far better than the original shot.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we saw that scumbag just like run out from the top while the husband goes in from the bottom.
Is that you, Arthur?
Yes.
Quickly established that that wasn't his wife or girlfriend.
Good for her.
Why?
Well, yeah, that was the hottest, one of the hottest sex scenes we ever shot. Definitely the hottest one in this movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, we definitely started off with a bang.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Definitely. Really, kind of a surprising scene as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Did not expect that, because she was saying like. I mean, she was a nude model and she'd done plenty of nudity, but she was a little hesitant. She was like, I'll go fully bottomless or fully topless. And I was like, all right, we'll see. And then she, once it started, she was like the initiator in a lot of the things that we saw on screen. Like, she was really into it.
Right. And it's always that funny relationship between like women who do like nude modeling and women who do nude in a movie.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll do the raunchiest pictures you've ever seen. When it comes to a movie, they're very like hesitant to do the same.
Yeah.
It's like a weird thing.
A mental thing.
Yeah.
Obviously it's not a physical thing because they're nude plenty. In photos, but yeah.
We've seen a lot of nude models who've done things, and just when it's a basic love scene, they don't want to, you know, be as risque.
Yeah. Now, this was the other lead actress in the film, Stephanie, and the thing with her is, like, I thought she was great during rehearsals, but people were really bothered by her accent in the film. A lot of people said I couldn't understand what she was saying in a lot of the scenes. I even at one point contemplating redubbing her lines, but...
Well, this is an early version of Cardi B here. Nobody's complaining about her accent these days.
Yeah, this was at the time, so... Yeah. Here we have our four major players.
Hey.
Was this Waleek's first movie he did with us?
Yes, this was his first movie with us. He would go on to do several movies with us after this.
And always played the straight-laced guy.
Yeah.
It seems like it. He was always a straight-laced, morals-based guy.
The moral compass in the film.
Yeah, that your corrupt character would always play off of. Either he was your brother or your friend or somebody that was being done dirty.
So he was in four films. In this one, best friend. In Scumbag, I think he was my cousin.
A brother, right? Something like that.
Something. Maybe it's my brother?
Maybe it's your brother.
You know, he was my brother in Scumbag. He was my cousin in Ace. Jackson's a Dead Man. He was my cousin. And then in Tortured, I guess he was my best friend again.
Probably, yeah. Did he kill you in Scumbag?
He killed me an ace.
He killed you an ace.
Ace Jackson killed
me.
He tried to kill me, ended up shooting his wife in Scumbag. Spoiler.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Yeah. He was always a straight-laced guy and you would just drive him to violence.
I would drive him to putting me out of my misery. Oh, man. Anna's tits were looking crazy in this scene. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's hard to appreciate it when you just saw them in the previous scene.
Right.
It's hard to appreciate them in clothes.
What? See, we live right across the street.
And so where does stuff like this happen?
In movies.
Where do I go for this? fantasy.
She thought you were some type of athlete.
That chick is super dark skin. You only see her teeth in this scene.
Oh, that's a colorist.
You barely see me. I'm one to talk, but no, she is super dark skin. Cutie though, cutie. Yeah. So these, speaking of models, these were both off of Model Mayhem, and I think this movie was predominantly cast off of Model Mayhem.
All right. That may have been the first one we did off of.
Yeah, I think you were doing photos prior to this off of Model Mayhem, and this was me. This is my first time really using it. Prior to this, I'd really used like casting sites like NY Castings and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know Crystal, the one in the pink here, and Anna came off of Model Mayhem. I don't remember where.
I think they both shot with you prior to this, so I got them from you.
Right.
And then Siobhan, I had actually gotten off Model Mayhem myself. Mm-hmm. And this is my ex. I gave her a cameo very late. This is like well after production.
I don't remember shooting this.
No, I shot this. Yeah. This was like right before I released the movie. Mm-hmm. I just added her in it because we were dating at the time. But yeah, this was actually at the hotel I worked at. Still worked out actually. But this was a transition period for us. Actually, I'll pop it up on the computer now while we're watching this, but I actually have it listed here. The transition we made as far as with the actors in a lot of these movies, it happened right around this time period. We'll see if I can find it real quick. Not a lot going on in this scene, so. But yeah, this is one of my secretaries. I just wanted to have like an office scene because this is like a lot of it has to do with his job and business and things like that. We don't have anything referring to that at all. It's just all my apartment stuff. So I figured it's a decent opportunity to like get some office stuff in there as well. So prior to this movie, we'd done a lot of exploitation and some horror stuff. And this was like a drama. I think we discussed this prior, like what the hell made us go in this direction. But this was a big shift in not just the type of movies we made, but also the actors we worked with. Because like we completely like had a complete reset as far as the actors go. We'd worked with Illa for, let me see, 7 pictures between shorts, unfinished films, and features. We'd worked with Jeff with 8 pictures. Edgar with 3, Waleed with 4, Walter with 2, Nefer with 3. So there's a lot of actors we worked with that after starting with this film, we never worked with them again.
Yeah.
This ushered in a bunch of actors that we started working with for the first time. In this one, I think this was our first one with Anna, who we'd worked with several times again, Waleek, who we mentioned, who we worked with in 4, and then this scene here, Adonis, who we'd worked with in several, and obviously Crystal as well. And this was my third project as well, acting, because I'd done your short, A Good Samaritan, and Hookers, and then this.
Yeah. And this was like one of our first ones when we did High Def too, right?
This was the first we did High Def. So we had gotten the Panasonic camera that shot in high def, and we had it in time to shoot Hookers in Revolt, but because the technology was new, we still did the mini DV tapes, and we figured like, all right, we'll give us time to readjust, and even though we had the ability to do it, Hookers was not high def. This was the first high def, but not the first with the camera. Because we actually used the exact same camera we bought from, again, someone behind the scenes though, and G-Lo, who we had worked with up until, again, that first wave of movies. We'd use his camera, but he was very sloppy with the camera. He didn't take care of it. And we were just worried, like, if it got damaged, we'd be responsible.
Right.
So we were like, all right, we're going to stop shooting for a while, save up money, and get our own version of the camera.
Yeah. I mean, he'd give it to us. Batteries wouldn't be charged. There was all kinds of things going on there. And we just got a little tired of always asking him for a favor. Because originally, we were all supposed to function as like a filmmaking unit where we would share equipment and help each other out, but
because we were all filmmakers.
But he started getting kind of like resentful and just kind of annoying. So we just didn't want to rely on him anymore. So that put a little bit of a hiatus in between the first few movies and the second, because we didn't have anything to shoot on. And simultaneously, we were still figuring out our editing situation. That took a while. We had shot several movies before we had edited the first one. And then when we started editing, you edited like all three of them back to back to back.
House, Lesser Vengeance, I Almost Died.
Yeah. All back to back, so that was interesting.
Yeah, and then we had a bunch of movies we didn't finish as well that were compilated on a couple of DVDs. One was The Unfinished Works, which were three unfinished movies, and another one was Satan Met a Lady, aka Maniac, that was on a DVD with a short film you did, which was my first acting film. Yeah, we had several projects that we worked on that, again, they all had themes of horror and a lot of exploitation. And this was the first of two just straight up dramas we did, minus the sex. They are just straight up dramas.
Yeah.
Just relationships and work and things like that. And we discussed this prior to this audio recording. Why the hell did we go in this direction? I still don't know what made us take such a huge left turn.
Yeah, I mean, I always just remembered it as you'd always have lots of treatments for scripts. And in that, we were always very genre specific. And my feeling around this time is it all comes back to me. We had done a lot of horror. We'd done a lot of exploitation. We'd done a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And like after Hookers and Revolt, I'm like, between that and like Bloodbath Island, how much further can we really even go with this? So when you sent me over other treatments, I'm like, hey, let's go for a drama. Let's go for something that we haven't done yet. I don't think that it was a deeply planned or thought out thing, but it was just kind of like looking at the treatment and saying, hey, that looks pretty good. Let's give that a shot. And maybe we can shoot two versions, one that has a little more, it's a little more explicit and one that's not, and kind of see where it goes.
Yeah.
And then adding in the high def as well, let's see if we can really get this to be, something that can bring us a little more commercial attention.
Yeah, what was interesting too in this departure, this was our second wave of movies included for this Scumbag, Ace, and Mandingo. The interesting thing is we went with the heavy sex, and you can have two versions of each movie, one with the heavy sex and one without it, and they all work pretty well as separate units, but this was the only one that was actually released commercially with a clean version and a regular version with different covers, different extras and everything. And this was the only one we did like that. And I think one of the big problems that came about, one, the distributors were like, hey, just pick one and let's go with it. But the other thing is the people who only saw the clean version is like, why did you hire this Latin actress who I can't understand what the hell she's saying? It's like, yeah, but you gotta see, we hired her because of all the hot sex scenes and stuff like that. It's like, you get into that dichotomy. It's like, all right, you have maybe the actors who aren't necessarily the best in just the acting scenes, but when you look at the overall picture, like they're a good fit. But when you cut out like half of why they're in the movie, it's like you hire Arnold Schwarzenegger and you cut out all the action scenes. It's like, well, why'd you hire this guy for just a straight comedy? Well, you take all the action scenes, it's like, it doesn't make sense, It's like,
right.
You have to have the complete picture, so.
Yeah, and that was always something that we thought about is if we don't have, like, the sex scenes in the movie, and it's just a regular movie with a plot, it now takes us into, like, another zone where we're competing with, like, Tyler Perry movies and stuff like that, where it's just, whatever, made-for-TV dramas. And we didn't have, necessarily the access to those types of actors, like those union actors who have, lengthy resumes. a lot of times the actors we chose were just like first timers, people moonlighting as actors, people who, you know, didn't do anything before or anything since. So we're not getting that caliber that those, you know, union actors have. But what we were trying to do is get, you know, people who looked good and have sex scenes with them. So yeah, they kind of
they had to look good. Mm-hmm. They had to be willing to do nudity, right, and willing to do the sex scenes. Mm-hmm. Nudity and sex scenes are two different things. You have people who want to do sex scenes but not nudity.
Right.
People who want to do nudity and not sex scenes. There's not just all one encompassing thing. They're two very different things.
Yes.
You have to get those two and someone who can memorize their lines, willing to act, not just willing to show up for like a couple hundred bucks and then just say, hey, like, I'll do your sex scene.
Right.
You have to, people are willing to commit to it. As much as these girls are doing these wild sex scenes, they actually like really spent a lot of time like memorizing their lines and rehearsing.
Sure. Yeah.
And they were part of this project for a few months before we completed the full cast.
Right.
Especially Stephanie and Anna, they were around for a while,
yeah,
before we finished completing everything, and they took it seriously.
Right.
So it's like you're asking a lot from these people. You
sure.
know?
Yeah,
so.
Definitely a lot. And the other part of it is like when you eliminate all the sex and the nudity from it, and now they're just down to basic acting. What a lot of people don't understand is like who are you comparing them to? You're comparing them to like professional, you know, Hollywood actors. And it's like, of course, their performance isn't going to be on the caliber of someone who's been acting for 20 years professionally. So that's why when you do different cuts of the movie, it's like people don't always understand what you're sacrificing and what you're gaining by having nudity or not having nudity, you know? So it's tricky.
And it's not just, I mean, we're focused on the actors, it's also the production as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how do you allocate your time? That dictates your movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're not allocating a bunch of time, energy, and resources into like making sure these sex scenes come off great, maybe we're spending more time and more takes on the dialogue scenes.
Right.
And maybe we're spending more money instead of spending extra money on girls who are willing to, you know, do sex scenes. Instead, maybe the girl's not willing to do it or willing to work for free, and that money can go into maybe more location stuff, you know? So it's allocation of time and resources also change, and then the movie can look in a completely different way as well.
Right.
So I think by the time we got to like Scumbag and Ace, it's like, listen, like, especially with Ace, it's like, is this movie really going to work without the sex scenes?
Yeah.
You know? And I think with this and with the following one, Tortured/Mandingo, I think they both work pretty well without the sex scenes.
Right.
But I think when you get to the latter two, they work less well without the sex scenes.
Oh boy.
So Illa wasn't in this movie, but we did use one of his songs. That's one of his songs.
Okay.
Yeah. Some work to hang out like this reminds me of when I was in junior high school.
We actually couldn't use any audio in that previous dance scene because they were so stiff. I was literally like telling them what to do the entire thing. So the audio was just me saying, hey, move, hey, dance, hey, do this, hey, do that. So we just had to completely drop all the audio.
I was so excited. I thought for sure I was going to lose my virginity that day.
What happened?
She never showed up. She said she couldn't get her jacket.
These two were really bad actresses, though. Maybe. Siobhan and Crystal. Oh, my God. They were really bad. And you could tell, like, even just the way it shot, it's just, like, it was tough to get them to get their lines right.
Yeah.
I don't think it got Doris Wishman-esque, where we were just, like, holding the script in front of their face while they read the lines. But it almost felt that way, you know? It was just, like, put a close-up. Okay, repeat this line, and you read the line to them, and then I think that we were doing it to that level,
mm-hmm,
where we just say their line, mm-hmm, and just say, okay, repeat that again, repeat that again, repeat that again,
mm-hmm,
and then move on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's basically where we shot this scene.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's what happens in the bedroom that really emphasizes what we were talking about for the last 5 minutes.
Yes.
I love the chemistry. I have.
I just don't feel comfortable.
You want to go? Yeah, all I can do is laugh.
It seems like you're with it, man. Not between like this. It's not gonna hurt my lives again. This is the bond. This is God himself giving you a chance to make up for Jasmine. Jasmine, all you gotta do is take it. At this point in my life, just don't want to do something that's going to catch up to me later on.
That is actually a quote from a lot of actors we got.
Yeah.
When we ask them, hey, you want to do drugs in a scene? You want to do nudity in a scene? You want to do satanic stuff in a scene? We got that speech a lot.
We did.
At this point in my career,
yeah,
you know,
sure. And
at this point in my life. Yeah.
Very common word is the comfortable thing.
Yeah. And at this point in my career, at this point in my life. Yeah. So if you're wondering about the bad acting.
Well, you sure as hell can, you know, stepped in for him. Oh boy.
And again, you know, when you want people to do stuff like this, you're more liberal if they don't remember their lines.
Oh man.
Oh man. This is some wild shit.
Yeah. Was this our first threesome in the movie ever?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. He compensated for the other guy. It's like, hey, man, I'll step in here and hear the both of them for you, knock both of them off. And here they go again.
So what's up, man? Tell me something. Something that's going to make you walking out two of the easiest bisexual freaks I've ever seen in my life.
So this guy, I mean, the crazy part is, like, he's sleeping with his wife, and then at the same time, he's setting up a threesome for him. Like, what the hell?
He's very hedonistic, man.
Bad influence. Terrible.
Yeah. I actually had a reviewer compare this character in this movie to, like, A Portrait of Dorian Gray, where just this hedonistic character that just lost all his morals and has this ugliness buried deep inside of him.
Look, you gotta start acting like adults. With grown men with responsibilities, not some.
He just doesn't give a fuck.
What's his motivation? What's driving this guy?
Sex.
Corrupt and immoral.
So I think with this particular movie, prior to this movie, I think what happened was, I think we did Introducing Coco Kitty and Coco Kitty's Revenge. Those are two scripts we wrote together.
Oh, I think that was way.
No, yeah, I'm just saying, those are two scripts we wrote together. Aside from that, I wrote everything on my own, like, as far as with my projects.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this particular movie, I think part of, I can be completely off, I think part of what made you excited about this is that you like the concept when I brought it up, because, like you mentioned before, we were talking about different concepts, and I hadn't actually written this one yet.
Yeah.
And I was showing you the scenes as I wrote them. I think that was part of what got you excited about this,
right,
is that I wasn't sending you a finished product.
Right.
And it's like, I think you felt more like a participant in it.
For sure.
And I think this particular scene, there were a few lines that you inserted here. I think you had some issues with your former best friend.
Yeah.
I think some of those lines, I think, were incorporated into this particular scene.
Definitely. And I could definitely see, like, I can't pinpoint it, but I know the last scene where he said, I'm not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I could see some influence I had there. Like, there was something there. Like, either you and I were talking about actors or something. Like, hey,
no, I remember you mentioned something about, your fallout. And I remember adding some lines.
Right. Let's put that in there. I could definitely see some of my former best friend in him and the way he's talking.
Like, yeah. I think there's something about, like, it's just the way you are.
Yes.
That particular one was in there.
Yeah. And really, like...
everyone's talking about you,
yes,
stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I remember those specific lines.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And then him really not fully comprehending and understanding. It's like, dude, I've been there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just gonna be this way? Like, that's kind of screwed up. That's
yeah.
I heard about what happened.
Yeah.
So this was the original girl that played the secretary. Her sex scene is on a deleted extra.
Oh, okay, I remember her now.
And we thought, like, I mean, I think she's pretty attractive, but she's not as attractive as the other girls.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually reshot her sex scene with someone else.
Yeah, I remember her now.
But I think what happened is the other girl's scene, which I think is in the same location,
mm-hmm.
was so bad. Mm-hmm. There was like, all right, let's just use her dialogue and then just shoot the other girl at the end and make them different characters.
Right.
But they're actually supposed to be just the one character.
Mm-hmm. I must admit, you had me tempted.
What was her name? Do you remember her name?
Her release form is right by your foot somewhere, but I don't remember.
But I do remember her. I remember the scene. I remember the whole thing now.
Yeah.
I guess so.
She was wobbling. Yes. She was the first like open porn star we worked with. Mm-hmm. I think there were a couple of girls that did porn after we worked with them, but she was the first one that did it before we worked with them.
Yeah. I remember shooting with her now. It was quick. It was just like this and then like the scene that we were done.
She was around for a while, but actually shooting with her was pretty short.
I'm thinking I could come on and answer like this.
Good. I consider myself lucky when I got my stomach from food poisoning.
You were right, you know that.
Terrible.
This is my best friend's wife.
It's the infidelity.
The casualness about it, too.
Yeah.
She makes it too good.
This things. Guy is Nero.
Caligula. Got the vodka out there. Did we put that there on purpose or was that just sitting on the corner?
It may have been hard to say. It may have just been there.
Chinese? Yeah.
Yeah, this was just somebody's apartment we shot at.
Yeah. Yeah, so well after the fact that all these inserts or stuff I'd shot like well after the fact, right before I edited it.
Right.
Because we didn't really do a lot of like establishing shots and things like that. And I don't think it would have worked because it's just my apartment. It was a lot of this movie.
Right, right.
So
it's very interior.
Yeah, very interior based. Not a lot of outdoor locations. I think we had addressed that once in that once we realized we didn't do a lot of exteriors, we shot a lot of stuff at Prospect Park mm-hmm. with Walik and myself. Mm-hmm. All that stuff at Prospect was one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the exterior shots without anyone there is just stuff I shot my own one day. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, everything else was just all interiors.
Yeah, we were
one
still
room to another.
We were still kind of, I mean, I was always still kind of traumatized after what we did with Bloodbath Island.
Oh, yeah.
it took us a while to really get comfortable shooting outdoors again because mm-hmm. of all. Shooting outside in New York, like you don't always realize the level of like noise contamination that you get.
Mm-hmm.
Just things that on a normal day you don't think about, like planes going overhead, helicopters, trains rattling the ground. Like there's so much noise, and normally when you're outside of New York, you know, unless it's the summer, you're just going from location A to location B.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not always in tune to those things. Because you're not really standing there in the corner shooting. When you just stand still in certain places in New York, the noise never ceases.
Mm-hmm.
And the shadows and everything. So after we did Bloodbath Island, which was supposed to be a full outdoor movie, we both came out, I know I came out of that feeling pretty traumatized about shooting outside. So it's like, hey, let's just shoot inside and we can at least control the lighting and the noise and the situation a lot better.
I think that was part of it. The other part of it too is like we really wanted to gun through scenes. And I think shooting interior helped us gun through stuff because we not just had the issues with the exterior stuff, but we'd just gone through several movies we didn't finish.
Right.
And the one we did finish, Hookers, took us a while.
Yeah.
So it was just like, you know what, let's just have a small cast
mm-hmm.
and I'll play the lead and interact with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it will just be more controlled as far as like, we don't have to worry about the lead actor flaking on us. We don't have to worry about the exterior stuff with Bloodbath Island. And we don't have to worry about keeping people too long because we'll just shoot it all inside and get rid of everyone in like a day or two.
Yeah.
And I don't think we needed Stephanie for more than one day. I think she was done after day one.
As many scenes as she did, yeah, she wasn't around. Well, I think by this point we had shot so many movies.
Mm-hmm.
And after Hookers, the one thing we realized, we just have to organize our shoots in a way where we don't keep people longer than we need to.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I think part of the shooting strategy is just like shoot as much as we can with certain people and then just move them along.
Because she would have been a headache. because right after we shot, she started being a headache. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think we definitely know we had Anna at least twice, maybe even more than twice. Mm-hmm. As one, because of that sex scene, and two, she was in multiple locations. But I'm pretty sure Stephanie was just one day.
Yeah,
I think that first day we got
all. Well, part of it too was when there was the actress in Hookers and Revolt who we needed to come back the day after, and she had a pretty significant role. But then she started talking about she had to go to some tennis match, and she had, you know, friends coming in from out of town and all this other stuff, and it was just like, oh my god, like, see, we're looking at that as you're never gonna come back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Based on that experience, it's like, we just gotta.
We even had a girl that wasn't gonna come back if she didn't forget her boots. Yeah. That's the only reason she finished her scenes.
Right. Right. So even getting people to come back the second day after they shoot was something where it was really up in the air. So if we know there's anybody that could potentially be flaky after shooting, try to get them done in one day, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about expansion.
Now, this was definitely a Doris Wishman one. So Doris Wishman is an old exploitation filmmaker from the 50s into the 60s, maybe even earlier. But she did a lot of nudie movies, a lot of roughy movies. And she definitely used a lot of techniques for bad actors that we incorporated. And we incorporated all those tools with this scene here. This was another open porn star actress, Kimberly Palat. And we literally did have the script in front of her face on our close-ups. And when she's talking and we don't see her, she's literally just reading off of the script. And we have the camera on me. But right now the script is in front of her face and she's just reading it.
Yeah, she would have never gotten to this.
Yeah. And it was just like, it's not that important. Let's just get something recorded and move on.
Yeah, spend like 5 hours doing this. Like, no.
Yeah, it's not worth the investment. Yeah. But if she's talking and you don't see her, she's reading from the script. If she's talking and you see her, the script is in front of her face. That's why there's hardly any two shots, because it's, she'd have to get all the lines like within the scene.
What, do we have hair and makeup people for this
movie? No.
So they did their own.
Yeah.
I respect your opinion. Obviously, the feeling.
And she's the wife of the boss.
Yes. You recommended I watch some footage of Ann Coulter for this. I don't know if we fully remember what the influence was with the Ann Coulter thing, but I did watch Ann Coulter and I did like try to incorporate some of her dialogue and I use it for influence. I just don't remember how I'd incorporate it though.
Company, there won't be any reason critique as you put it.
Do you honestly believe that?
So you two are obviously still having sex then.
You know what? There are people are like this though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can laugh, but people are like this. People are scumbags.
Anyway, oh, I know. I know about that.
As far as I'm telling him, I don't know. So you plan on keeping it then? Yes, of course. Of course. I mean, you were standing for the world, right? Yeah.
Anna does change her wig a lot in this movie. So I think she changes it 3 times. I think I was so stressed out at one point I didn't even notice. I think before we started shooting, I wanted to just pick one, just to stay consistent with the character. But once we got into the shoot and everything started going crazy with the camera issues, losing footage, not sure if we're recording, trying to get rid of people quickly, hoping things don't fall apart, just all the stress and acting and trying to, like, you know, make sure the production comes off okay. I just didn't even notice when she would go between wig to wig from scene to scene.
I wouldn't even have noticed if you didn't tell me.
Yeah, she has 3. She has this, a full-on afro one, and then the straight hair one she had in the sex scenes. I mean, they change from locations and shooting days. So every time you see a different wig is a different shooting day. I think there were at least 3 shooting days with the 3 wigs.
I don't get it, Susan. You invite me over here to go over this loony report when you knew goddamn well I'd rip it to shreds. What did you honestly hope to get out of this?
I've personally admired you since you were first hired.
So I only had like 1 corporate job. It was super entry level. And I think it was Drum Associates. So that's why I had the last name Drum for now.
You out of all people to get this job.
But to be honest with you, I love the fact that I have it and it's tearing me up.
Yeah, like right here where she's talking, we weren't getting through that stuff. We're just like, put the camera on me and let her read her lines. We were just trying to get through this scene as quickly as possible.
Oh, for sure.
At least that part of the scene. So we can get to this part of the scene.
Where was this shot?
You can't recognize this?
Barely. I recognize the pillows, which is a giveaway, but the window and all that is looks a lot different.
This disturbance is going to cost you.
And another thing I like is that whoever that provided the music, it's good music for this movie.
Yeah, I think it's one artist that did most of the songs.
Yeah.
I think Ella has one song and maybe there's one other song by someone else.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's pretty much the same artist has all the songs. And it really enhances it too.
Yeah.
It gives the energy to a lot of what you're watching. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's appropriate too. It's not just good, but it's appropriate to the scenes.
It's the full circle skeleton.
Yeah. So again, if you're watching just the scene without the sex scenes, it's like, oh, these guys don't know what they're doing, get a better actress. Uh-huh. But you get a better actress is want to do a scene like that afterwards. You know, it's just like,
yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
So all the scenes in the bedroom here, I'm kind of disappointed with because the dialogue is really good. Mm-hmm. But we were just at this point just trying to get through it as quickly as we could because she was starting to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people just go mental like towards halfway through a shoot.
Yeah. I'm planting trees all day long.
Yeah, they'll practice and practice and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse. And then on shooting day, it's like they show up and they're already like, you know, mentally not there. And then for the rest of the day, it's kind of like, are we shooting the movie or is this like a therapy session?
Yeah, yeah.
But
a lot of the lines, because I don't know if I mentioned this during the recording, but a lot of the inspiration for this movie for me was a lot of British cinema that I was watching. There's a lot of cynicism with male characters to their like wives and girlfriends. And a lot of the good lines I had was with Stephanie in that bedroom.
Right.
And we barely got through like usable takes. It was disappointing because that's some of the best dialogue I wrote for this particular movie, for my character at least.
Right.
So. Along the line, this might actually make you grow up to be the father figure this kid may need.
This is the only movie anyone's ever gotten pregnant to.
Really?
Of all the sex we've had in movies?
Yeah.
It's the only pregnancy.
That's a good point.
He doesn't seem like it's much of a wanted pregnancy. Yeah.
And we'll live happily ever after. Keep telling me about the fairy tale life, because it makes me want to puke.
You know, I can't say that I'm surprised by your reaction.
What's that supposed to mean?
Uh-oh. You fall off.
Come on, these two are brothers, man.
Mm-hmm. You can seduce people with your charm, but God help them if they inconvenience you in any way. Then, you show your true side.
You know what? We're both there for different reasons, Pete. So when you say, go out, get a couple pictures on me.
Don't touch me.
He's had enough.
Yeah. I really liked the dynamic we had in these four movies together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're great.
Well, he was always your moral opposite.
Yeah.
In almost every movie. You need that. You need that contrast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's how you are.
But it never got to the point where we like antagonists and protagonists.
This is how you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I put up with you for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And
I know this.
Friendship. I'm doing it. Okay. Tell me. You've been putting up with me?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I was the one who was standing up for you in college when everyone was laughing at you.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting home.
This is my life right here. I remember this conversation.
Yeah.
And that was me.
pulling those all-nighters with you because you could barely write essays. Then after we graduated college and you got stuck in that dead-end job in Oklahoma City, crying every night to come back to New York, I let you get that cushy job you've got now at Madison Avenue. I threw your bachelor party. I was the best man at your wedding. I had to encourage you to have the balls to be in the delivery room for the birth of your own son. I stood by you.
I fucked your wife?
Well, that part I didn't do for my former friend. I wasn't sleeping with this woman. But still.
You don't want to be friends with me anymore? Fine. You're breaking my heart. But if I were you, I'd start worrying about my own wife. And where she's been spending her days while you're at work, instead of sticking your nose in my business.
What?
That's pretty good.
The plot thickens.
Yeah.
I think that the thing I like about our dynamic is it adds a lot of drama to the movies, you know?
Yeah.
The conflict
right.
of like, you want these guys to be friends and you don't.
Well, it goes from like, you know, him being very self-righteous to her, to you, like maybe being immoral,
yeah.
but still having some very important salient points of yeah. like what you've done for him. Like, yeah, fuck your wife, but I've done a lot of shit for you too. and that's the full circle
that,
universe
that,
of that balance.
Yeah, that those gray lines of morality.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I've done good and I've done bad.
Yeah, it's... Do I like this guy? Do I hate this guy? It's like,
right.
Who do I like in this thing?
That you didn't put our family on the line for some cheap thrills. That's what I want you to tell me.
I really don't want to talk about this right now.
This is one of my favorite scenes in this movie.
I know this scene too.
I've been cheating on you. I've been fucking the whole neighborhood.
Here's where she had the straight wig.
In our bed. Is that what you wanted to hear? Don't act surprised. I barely even try to hide this from you. I haven't let you touch me in months.
This dialogue is something. Oh my god.
Is there a smudge on the camera right there?
I can't tell.
Yeah, right there.
You're going anywhere.
Yeah.
As
you can see,
oh,
it's
yeah,
still
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or there's a computer screen.
No, no, it's a footage. It's a footage, yeah. Because it wasn't there before. I love this.
You
want to leave
me?
You cheat on me and you want to leave me? This don't make no sense.
I know a lot of this. I'm telling you.
I love it. I didn't get a chance to date. You're married, bitch. You're like, you can't date when you're married.
You had a chance to be with different people. When we got married, you couldn't do any better. You ambushed me. You're my first boyfriend. The first person I had sex with. We got married, I got pregnant, and my life is supposed to be over at 25.
We never even showed the kid. They
no.
have the kid. No, we did. We did show at one point. We should, yeah. Later in the movie, we show the kid for a brief second.
Get your hands off of me.
Let's just try to work this out, please.
Get
your hands
off of me.
No, I'm not going to let you off this door.
No, no. Get off of me.
Oh, I love this scene. Oh. Oh man. Oh. Did we ever think of another name besides the trade-off for this? I think at this point we were just thinking of names that were appropriate. But
yeah,
I think like if we had a better name, it would have done better.
You had a name for it prior to trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it was.
Mm.
You were never huge on the name trade-off.
No.
But I was like, I thought it.
It fit.
I thought it fit.
But just like with Tortured by Regret fit Mandingo, mm-hmm. if it was Tortured by Regret, it wouldn't have sold anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mandingo, it sold a lot with that name.
Mm-hmm.
But Tortured by Regret wasn't more.
Yeah.
Tortured by Regret, that was the name.
For this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this was Tortured by Regret.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't use it. We went with trade-off. And then we called the next movie, Torture by Regret.
In reality, any full circle movie could be called Torture by Regret.
I know.
A lot of movies that could be called that, but yeah.
Yeah, the original name for this was Torture by Regret, and it went to Trade Off. Okay. But yeah, I think this movie needed more of like a salacious title, and it would have sold better. Okay. But I think this, I mean, the girls were somewhat hotter in Mandingo, but mm-hmm. I think this could have sold close to it if it had a better title.
I didn't think at the time we were aiming for salacious, mm-hmm. but...
No, we weren't.
But in reality, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't thinking like sellers. We were thinking as filmmakers, like what fits the title of the film we shot.
Exactly.
And this fit the film title we shot. Because mm-hmm. trade-off is a business term, and it's also a trade-off in like his decisions, you know,
sure.
consequences to his actions. Yeah, so if you're worried about like, man, I can't understand her dialogue, I don't know. Well, this is why.
Yeah. And it's about time you got around to her. He's balling everyone else.
Again, this music is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some more of the exterior footage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that day we went over there.
No, this was the stuff I shot.
Oh, that was in Prospect Park?
No.
Oh, Prospect Park.
We didn't get cutaways of Prospect Park. No. It's just, we didn't get any cutaways for this movie. It's just what the actors were in was the only shots we got.
But I wasn't trying to get
him. Early cell phone footage in a movie.
This isn't cell phone. That's a cordless.
Hers.
Oh, hers is
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying his.
No, his is cordless.
Yeah.
But hers is a cell.
Oh, really? Okay.
And now that's pretty common in movies, you know, showing cell phones. But
yeah,
this was an early version.
Yeah, this was. Is this something we invented too? Can
I
we take?
I think so. Tell me a movie that had an actual cell phone. Yeah, I don't remember seeing anything like that. Usually phones look like this.
Yeah.
You know what? Screw it.
You can see that's an early phone, one of those small ones.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What do you say? I'll meet you at your place in an hour. We can go to the city from there.
Now he's gone crazy.
I love how he fails at it, too.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's so, he thinks he's so slick, and he's failing terribly at it.
How are you?
Fine.
Oh man, I like the drama in this. You know what? Even without the sex, I like this movie. I really do.
A little after a bit, but definitely.
We've been here for such a long time.
Yeah, watching this, I mean, first of all, no matter what relationship I have with an actor after we shoot, I'm always grateful for anyone that shoots my movies. She's definitely the weakest link. By far, I think so. Anna's really good in this.
She is.
Walik is great in this.
Yeah.
She's the weak link. She doesn't bring anything.
Absolutely anything we want to put in. Just about anything.
Yeah, I remember Anna was just difficult to shoot with and difficult to be around with, but she made her scenes count.
Her scenes popped.
That's
she's,
what I'm saying.
She's not popping in these scenes.
Yeah.
She's just kind of there. She's not bad, but she's just kind of there.
And probably a lot of that is just the fact that during the shooting day, she was just not, in the right place mentally.
Yeah, that could be it too.
Because you got to realize, like, you may shoot for one day, and then people are going to be watching this thing forever.
Mm-hmm.
So make that, no matter how you feel, you know, check in all those emotions and feelings at the door
mm-hmm.
and make your scenes count.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
You don't get do-overs a lot of times.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
I think she has enough to work with that she could have made this
could've,
thing
for sure.
pop.
Could have.
You know, could've. The pregnancy, the cheating. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's a lot to work with. In this whole script, there's a lot to work with, you know?
Wonderful.
But I think she is closer to the Kimberly Pilots, the Siobhans, and the Crystals than she is to Anna.
Right.
Performance-wise. And I think the difference is we didn't have any expectation of those girls.
Because
those girls were just there for like one scene and sex scenes. She was a lead character.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
There's more expectations for her. She rehearsed a lot. She was part of the production for a while. She took acting seriously.
Yeah. But like I said, you know, people can do all of that. But when it's time to perform and make it count, a lot of times people just, you know, they flub it.
Yeah.
Recently, they get caught up in their emotions and they just don't, they don't follow through. They come into this knowing all their lines and have the wardrobe and the makeup and everything is there. But on shooting day, I don't know what it is with people. It's like it's just something that they get there, and some people can be troubled the whole time and then just deliver and make it work, and other people just don't.
Yeah.
There are some people that were very annoying to work with, but they just put in good work.
Monica Williams from House of the Damned.
Mm-hmm.
I hated working with her, but her performance came off really well.
Yeah.
Anna was annoying. I didn't hate Anna, but she had annoying behavior. She came off great in this. And those are just a couple people from the audio recordings from movies we've done recently that I can think of off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, gotta leave it at the door, like you said.
Most recently, it hasn't been one, but two women he's been sleeping with.
No.
Yes. He's just dropping dime on everything.
He met them in Prospect Park.
It's like her reaction to this is just like underwhelming.
I guess that would.
It's like your husband just cheated on you. You're like, no. Come on, give me something.
I didn't tell you all of this to hurt you.
You know, I think the problem is, like, I was so focused on how good Walik was, I didn't even notice, like, how underwhelming she was to give her, like, more direction. I was just like, man, Walik is really good.
Well, the other thing, too, is sometimes when people are acting a fool, you know, you just want to get them off the set and move on with things.
Yeah.
So, you unfortunately, sometimes just settle for less.
That's true.
If you really keep trying to give them direction and stuff like that, and they're not taking it, it's like, am I just beating a dead horse? If that becomes a conflict, are they going to say, hey, after this, I'm leaving? No, you still have two more scenes to go. So, let's just try to get through everything so we have something.
And the sex scene was the last scene.
Yeah.
You definitely don't want to go before that.
Right, right. And these are things that, you know, as like independent filmmakers, choices that you have to make that sometimes people don't understand.
Yeah. And this is one of my most disappointing scenes. I love the dialogue in this scene, but I hate the way it's shot because we just had to gun through it.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's not all on her because scenes with like one line, one line, one line, one line, one line, they're really difficult.
Yeah.
So I lie.
It's kind of almost easier to have like several lines and then several lines, but we're just one.
I don't remember. Yes.
Often?
As often as we could. What does it matter? Listen, I really don't want to talk about this.
Well, I do.
Why? What do you think this conversation is really going to accomplish?
What about all the others? What about all the others?
What others?
The others.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this scene. On script, this was one of my favorite scenes on paper.
God, you fucked that Susan Drop too.
Because it's like she's supposed to be like super emotional.
Yes.
And then my casualness is supposed to contrast that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not feeling that watching it here.
Yes. Mm. Give you a thrill?
She doesn't seem like someone whose like world is shattering while her husband's casually talking about relationships and affairs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel her world chattering right now.
This
scene should have been like the Walik and Anna scene. That's what I was looking for with this one. You see, like while she should have been emotional the way like Walik was emotional, where she's like, "What are you talking about?" You know, she's just like, "What about all the others? The others?" It's just like there's no emotion here.
Why did you marry me? Why? Answer me.
Yeah,
because what?
Because it was something to do. Because I wanted to.
What did you have to sleep with my best friend? Did you try not to?
I tried, but it didn't do any good.
The dialogue is so funny. It's
You see my back? Why don't you get off of it?
It's about that. He's not
the
shit.
No. Oh boy. Oh boy.
Friends to enemies.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh.
It comes.
I think this scene was the first scene that I used the best.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Then I'll kill you. You understand me? What? I'll kill you.
Yeah, so I forgot what those things are called, but it's the harness.
Yeah, with the weighted vest.
The weighted vest.
Yeah.
I was psyched to use that. we had that for a while. That was my first time using it. I used it a lot in movies after this.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually funner to use that than the tripod.
Yeah. But yeah, here's the mother scene. She was good in this. Mm-hmm. I remember I had four people read for this, and she was the only one that actually came through. But
yeah,
she turned out to be really good.
She was great. She just played the angry, bitter mother. And she wasn't. I remember her too. She was a very nice lady.
She was. She was. She did a really good job.
I want to speak to Dad.
He can't speak. Your father had a stroke 2 months ago. He can't speak to anyone right now.
I want to come and see Dad one more time before. So I'm not coming to the house if you're still there.
Old school cell phone.
I'm serious. You're a nice woman. You're a nice woman, Mom. But that don't cut it when you're in one of your moods.
I remember that phone too.
Can you speak to me?
The early one.
Yeah.
I would seriously doubt that he would have anything.
She's on the cord.
You shouldn't have called.
You trashed my relationship with you. Now you want to trash my relationship with Dad? I should be walking around like, oh, duh, 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 like everything's fine. What don't you get? What don't you understand? Don't you think it's kind of important for a son to know his father?
I like how she flips the script on him.
Give me an answer. What don't you understand?
Fine. It's your father's fault you haven't seen him in 5 years. And it's your sister's fault you missed her wedding. And it's my fault your marriage is a mistake. And it's God's fault you were born into wealth. Because only he knows...
What's this theme of everyone dressing me down in these movies? Some kind of self-hate masochistic stuff in this stuff now. Watching this in Ace back to back, it seems like... all these characters just dress me down.
I know that feeling. I do.
Oh, man.
I know what it's like to be in a cycle of...
a cycle of everyone telling you ain't shit.
Yeah, I know that feeling. How far I
tried. Oh. Whew, thank God mine's is only pretend.
You don't give a damn about anybody else except yourself. Maybe if you would have accepted me for who I was, for who I am, things could have turned out differently between us. All this added pressure you put on me didn't make me any more successful. The only thing you did was drive a wedge between us.
All that pressure, as you put it, really screwed up your sister's life too, didn't it? Look, you were my firstborn. Your father and I worked hard to get where
She's
we were
good.
In life yeah. before we started the family, because we wanted to make sure that any children we had would have all the opportunities we didn't.
Real old school.
Now, yeah. I can't pretend that your approach to life is something that I can sit back and accept, no matter how I feel about you. What do you want from your father, anyway?
Money.
I
need to borrow some money.
Oh God! You know when you said that, I don't remember the movie that well.
Of course.
When you said money, I was like, please don't say money. Please don't say money.
I remember this.
It's like I'm feeling for this character at this point. I'm like, dude, don't say money. Yeah. Don't say money.
That set her off even more.
So tell me, how much do you need? What's the dollar figure going to be?
Oh, God.
How much is it going to cost me to get rid of you for good?
I told you.
Oh, yes. The clouds are coming in for sure.
Yeah. I remember shooting that.
Oh man, that's rough.
Oh yeah.
That is rough. Wow.
Was she in more than one movie? I remember her too.
No, she wasn't in more than one. She played my sister.
I liked her.
Yeah, she was cool. I had a falling out with her because I left my phone at her place. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I don't see your phone.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure I left the phone there.
Yeah.
I lost it at her place.
Really?
Yeah. After that, I was like, fucking the fuck with her.
Why would she have said that?
I don't know. It's possible I left it somewhere else, but I was like at the time, I was like 100% sure I left it there.
You were at a place because you were like rehearsing over there or something?
I don't remember. I have no idea. I don't remember at all. It wasn't anything personal, though. It was either rehearsing or shooting or something.
I had seen her around several times after this.
You mean at auditions or something, or just around?
Yeah, just like different places. Like she was doing some like different stuff on the internet, and like, you know, had some websites and a whole bunch of other things. And she's one of the people that I saw around after shooting.
Yeah, I mean, again, she was cool to work with. I didn't have any issues with her, but just that cell phone thing was the main reason I never got in contact with her again about anything else.
How long was it after that the cell phone issue thing came up? It was like right after you left their house or something?
Yeah, it was pretty close to the shoot.
And like you went there, you left it.
I don't remember how it played out. Okay. I just remember like I left it there, and then I called her. She said, I don't see it. And
it was right after this?
Yeah.
Oh.
Here's the mentioning the movie in the movie. The trade-off theory. What could we have used as a title? I don't even know. I think that's why we used the trade-off or tortured, but definitely something more salacious would have helped a lot.
You have to decide for yourself what's most important to you. And then sacrifice was not to keep you.
Here's the third week.
I need to see you. Considering all that's happened, I think we need to see each other right now.
Here's the kid.
It's a good thing today's gone. Maybe we should break up to see if our love is strong.
Oh man. Let's bring our family back together. But I don't know, in full circle movies, it doesn't really ever end like that. You think in like a regular movie there would be some healing, resolving,
no,
back together?
No.
I don't know about that.
Have we done a movie with a happy ending?
Nah. I think with us, it's never been about a happy ending or a sad ending. It's just we just end the movie the way that it's going to play out.
Yeah. The events come to a closure or something.
Yeah.
Conclusion.
Yeah. Something just ends it.
This was the closest thing to like exterior setups we did and stuff. But
I like that shot.
Yeah, I like all the stuff we shot there. Dumbo. So this was the first sex scene. Mm-hmm. I think part of it is like, you know what it was? I don't know if it was the footage. I think it was just too short.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe we just thought it wasn't enough footage.
Maybe we thought we could just get something better. I don't know.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But I'm not 100% sure now it was an issue with the footage.
Okay.
I think it might have been, we just thought it was like really short and we could have gotten more out of it. Uh-huh. I could be wrong, but I think that may be part of it too.
How
many
things get so
fucked up
so fast?
Oh, yeah. Nothing's left to the imagination in this movie.
I don't.
Wow.
But I like you a lot. Because the opposite of guys like Pete, I don't want no lap dog slobbering all over me all day long. I keep dogs like that, and so do you. All I want to have is just a good time.
There comes a point in your life.
She has no morals. As a person.
She just lost her husband and her son. She's like, I just want to have a good time.
Let it play out however it does.
I like everyone has a rationale for the behavior, though.
Yeah. And her husband, who could have been like the saving grace, went and did you dirty. So even he's like the one guy you just want to like hope that he can be the hero of the
wrong movie, man.
He just had to go and be a slime ball.
It's more realistic too,
it is,
though.
No, it is.
People don't stay perfect till the end. They want revenge. They want to get theirs.
So it's just so disappointing the way he just went behind your back like that and tried to ruin your marriage. But that is life.
What are you talking about?
That's pretty cold shit right here, too.
Where is he? That's your wife? She doesn't deserve you. I do. You finally have nothing keeping us away from each other. And you want to walk? We belong together.
No, we don't. I am sorry. I am truly sorry if I gave you the wrong impression. But you were just something to do for.
You just when you thought something sincere. Yes.
All right, I'll look at it. I'll look at it when we're done recording. Something broke.
Just like the cap.
Okay.
Just when you thought something sincere was going to come out of his mouth, you just had to flip and say some other shit.
It was sincere, though.
Well, yeah, it was, but wow, man.
I'm getting to realize that I was looking for something our marriage couldn't supply, or that I thought it couldn't supply. And I gave up on it before it even got started.
So now he's actually trying to save his marriage. Nice.
6 years. He's the mother of my child. I'm trying to say it's like,
no, happy ending. Well, what do we wear? Let's shut off the movie and let's
no. Go there. No. God, no.
What's he doing here? What does it look like?
I'm trying to tell you, some mistake. I forgot to come home. I'm so sorry, baby. Do something with this jackass, and all you can say is you're sorry.
248 says, as I have observed, those who plow evil and sow trouble reap it.
So self-righteous.
Oh my goodness. But see, that's us. Like, it's just you go there, you have a moment, and then it just all just gets worse.
Let's end this thing where we started it. I forgot her name, but yeah, when she first read for the project, she read for it early on because we were casting this movie for a while. Mm-hmm. She was one of the early people that read for it. Mm-hmm. She looked like Beyonce. Mm-hmm. She was smoking hot. She knew it. Mm-hmm. She said some things to me that was basically acknowledged she knew how hot she was. She wasn't shy about it. Mm-hmm. One of the hottest girls I've ever seen. She looks good here,
yeah.
But compared to the way she used to look, mm-hmm. It's a huge fall off.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, you don't really, like, I darkened this footage a little bit, and she was wearing a decent amount of makeup, but you could tell she had, like, a bunch of pockmarks on her face.
Yeah.
She used a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
A lot of fucking drugs. She looks like a before and after those meth pictures.
Oh, come on, man. She doesn't really look that bad.
She doesn't look that bad, but compared to how she used to look.
How much of a time frame was there in between the
before? Months. Because I think she said she had just come to New York too, but her whole vibe was that she was just like either homeless or a call girl or just like a prostitute, something. But yeah, she did a lot of drugs in between. Again, she still looks good there, but I'm telling you, she was Beyonce level. She was been like one of the hottest girls we ever shot with level when I first saw her.
One big
Even he got to go out soft too. I think this was, we wanted to get like one more bathroom scene with a shaky camera in there. I think we had had those in all our movies leading up to this. So it's like, all right, let's just get one more in there at the end. I think that's why we just added that there. Just kind of a stinger there at the end. So.
Yeah.
The trade-off. Yeah, but this ushered in, like I said, a second wave of the films we did. First wave, exploitation heavy, some horror. Mm-hmm. This wave was all a lot of dramas and softcore sex stuff.
Yeah. And then we just went to more like the pickup stuff for the last two we did, Scumbag and Ace, where there's a lot of pickup, a lot of ad-libbing, and, you know, on
well, there was some differences between this and Tortured / Mandingo and Scumbag and Ace, but there was a lot of parallels too.
Right.
They both follow the formula of five sex scenes with five different women, focusing on the softcore stuff. Myself as the lead, keeping it linear,
right,
where we're just following one character's story for the whole thing.
Right.
I think this of the three was the only one that had real subplots, right, with other characters.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, after this one, like, with Mandingo, and especially with Ace and Scumbag, that, like, I wasn't in front of the camera for, like, almost every scene.
Yeah.
This one, we definitely developed the other characters. It was, I mean, I was the main, but it was four of us. It's all four stories were told. I think we went even more linear with the others.
I saw a name I haven't seen in a long time, Frank West. That was...
Frank was a wild guy, man.
Yeah.
David Rodriguez. We worked with some wild characters, man.
Yeah. Frank was big on the casting side. He been with us for years.
Yeah. I don't know if this song made it to the movie. It definitely made it into the trailer. Mm-hmm. I like this song too. I like all the songs in this movie.
Where'd you get all these lights in this background? You just were out shooting.
This?
Yeah.
No, this was something I downloaded. It was either from some software, but I didn't shoot this.
Okay. I had shot something similar to this on a film camera.
Yeah.
Exploring lights and
headlights for, yeah.
Yeah, just distorting things.
Yeah, no, this is just footage I got. This wasn't anything I shot.
Well, yeah, this represented a big pivot in full circle history.
Yeah. Because we when we started, are we going to lean into nudity and sex, or are we going to lean into more violence and special effects? That was a real debate for a while.
Yeah.
And then it was a debate for our first wave of movies, like how far do we want to lean into the sex?
Yeah.
And then having Hookers be the last movie we did prior to this next wave, I remember Pavel Martinez, he did a lot of he did some podcasts with us.
Funny.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a debate, like, which direction we go in. And we went hard with the sex scene starting with this movie, but it wasn't a given that was the direction we were going to go in. We did debate that for a while.
Right.
Like, what direction are we going to go in? Special effects, make these death scenes, make these violent stuff look good, or just lean into the sex and nudity? And we definitely leaned into the sex and nudity hard.
Yeah. Violence was tough for me with all the special effects we would have needed.
Choreography, yeah.
The time, the patience. It's
I mean, if we had someone within the fold that did that stuff, that would have been a strong possibility going that direction.
Right.
But that didn't end up happening. The trade-off, man. I like this a lot, man. I like this. This was fun. This was a fun watch. And I think I would like it without the sex scenes too.
Yeah, I had forgotten a lot about it. I hadn't seen it in quite a while, but yeah, it brings everything back now. It's like this was a good movie.
Yeah,
it definitely a switch for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah, that's it, man. The trade-off.
Yeah, that brings back a lot of memories, man.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of memories.
Mm-hmm.
You're right about Stephanie, though. I didn't realize her performance was so flat.
Yeah, especially when you contrast it with the other three main characters. It's like,
yeah,
bring something to the table. Yeah. You got plenty to work with.
If she was more hysterical, that would have worked out a lot better.
Yeah.
I see the contrast that you're talking about, how she played it very cool.
Mm-hmm.